The last few days, speaking about the riveting stories of this week's Parsha, the jealousy between Yosef and his brothers, the ultimate sale of Yosef down to the Yishma'elim, the fabricated cover story that they tell, Yaakov Avinu. And when one reads all of these fascinating stories in our Parsha that are very difficult to understand, one has to wonder, what exactly were the Shvatim thinking at the time? They sell their brother down to a lowly group of band of Yishma'elim. They don't know what's going to be with him. They think they're killing him. Did they not understand the tremendous pain that this vile act would cause both their brother Yosef as well as their father Yaakov Avinu? They knew how much Yaakov loved his son. So how could it be that they did what they did, and what exactly were they thinking? We mentioned a medrash the other day, and we'll just mention it once again. Ba'os Hosha, what were the Shvatim? What was going through their minds at that time? Shvatim hayu asukim b'mechiras Hosha Yosef. At that moment, when they did the sale, and now they came home and tried to understand what it is that they did, there was a tremendous disagreement among the brothers. They had a big fight about what exactly they had done, whether they made the right decision. Yosef haya osuk b'sako v'taniso. Yosef now falls into a very deep depression, and he's totally despondent. He's in a state of mourning. He can't believe that his whole life has been destroyed. Reuven haya osuk b'sako uv'taniso. Reuven's heart is bleeding that he didn't have the opportunity to save his brother, and he thought he would have all these plans, but it didn't work out. Yaakov haya osuk b'sako v'taniso. Yaakov is totally hysterical over the loss of his beloved son. And Yehuda, the leader, who's probably the most notable member of the family as well, who should have shouldered most of the responsibility after all, he was the one they all looked up to. Yehuda says in Medrash, Haya Asuk Likach Loisha. You know what Yehuda was doing? When all this was going on in the background and the whole family's fighting and everybody's busy trying to internalize the gravity of the decision that they've made, Yehuda decides to go on a date. Yehuda decides no time better than now to try and get married. While the rest of his brothers are fighting, and while the whole family is disintegrating and falling apart, this is what he thinks is appropriate. Where is Yehuda's moral conscience? Where is Yehuda's understanding? Where is his heart? How come he can't think of a little bit more appropriate response? He seems so callous and apathetic to the plight of his brother. And that is the question that bothers many, many Mefarshim. How could it be that Yehuda was busy doing this at a time when there was such a tremendous catastrophe going on in his immediate family? In trying to understand this medrash, there's a vart from the Kutzker Rebbe that I've been very moved by when I saw it a number of years ago. The Kutzker writes, such an amazing idea. And he says, after being so heavily involved and pretty much solely responsible for this terribly tragic episode, Yehuda was the leader of the family, and after he falls to such a disgraceful depth because of the decision that he made, and he realizes that he's now failed himself and his brothers and his entire family miserably, so Yehuda must have felt terribly ashamed, and he feels hopeless, and he thinks, that's it, life is over, I'm worthless. Look at what I did, I destroyed everything we had, I sold my brother down, I'm destroying my father's life, my brother's life, everything is over. And he understood quite well the gravity of the mistake that he had made. However, although he knew that he would have very difficult consequences to deal with, instead of allowing that mistake to completely paralyze him and to debilitate him from doing anything for the rest of his life, Yehuda has the determination and Yehuda has the courage to stand up and say, I'm going to recompose myself and I'm going to allow myself to start life over from the very beginning. After all, writes the Kutzker, what is the very first mitzvah in the Torah? Pru urvu umiluas haaretz v'kipshuha. Says Yehuda, the first mitzvah in the Torah is to get married and to procreate and to have children. And therefore Yehuda says, after this terribly embarrassing mistake, after the terrible judgment call that I've made to get rid of my brother, he determined that it was worthwhile for him to start life all over again from the beginning. I'm not going to let myself get stuck in it. I'm not going to allow the rest of my life to be destroyed as a result of this. And Yehuda teaches us by the response that he has in this week's parsha that no matter how poor of a decision a person might make, and sometimes we make very poor judgment calls at different times of our lives, writes the Kutzker, no matter how difficult the consequences might be either for you or perhaps even for others, we can never allow these kinds of decisions or these experiences to cripple us and from allowing our lives to move on. We make mistakes, and as we said yesterday, all human beings make mistakes. And the greatest of Jewish leaders, the Torah and the Tanakh tell us, also made mistakes. And what is amazing is that Yehuda shows us that a human being has to have the courage not to allow those mistakes to define who they are, and not to allow those mistakes to stop them from any dreams that they want to be able to accomplish in the future. Now, this does not mean that a person has a right after a mistake just to ignore that infirmity and to ignore the mistake that may have been made, but it does mean that we all have the opportunity as thinking human beings to give ourselves a fair chance to move on with life. And so often you see that people who go through terrible tragedy or people who go through difficulty in life think that there is no possibility for life to move on. And they think that because of the gravity of whatever it is that I may have been involved in, there is no possibility for me to ever have a future or for those around me to ever have something that will be positive going forward. And Yehuda taught us that as difficult as a life as you may have, and some of us may have created that difficulty and may have actually made the impossible come into our lives, Yehuda teaches us that no, he's going to stand up and the first thing he's going to do is go and look for a wife, to get remarried. Let me try everything all over again. Let me start life over and let me not allow myself to destroy the promising life that I have the opportunity to experience before me. So Hanukkah, as we know, is a season of year lahodos ulahalal, as we say in the davening. In fact, there's a major question in the Achronim and in the Rishonim trying to understand whether or not Hanukkah even has an obligation to have a Seudas Mitzvah every day. Do we assume that our obligation of celebrating on Hanukkah, of having, like the Rambam says, Yimei Simcha, Hanukkah is considered to be a day where we're supposed to celebrate, does that mean that we also have to have a meal and we have to wash by the meal? Maybe we have to have fleishiks by the meal? Hanukkah is a day of Halal Vahoda, Lahodos Ulahalal, that's what we're supposed to be busy with during the season of Hanukkah. When you think about that consideration, when you think about that obligation that we have of how Hanukkah was set up, it's a very strange and unusual phenomenon, because what exactly are we celebrating? For anyone who knows even the most basic knowledge of history of the time of Hanukkah, and we spoke about it in the shul last week, Hanukkah was a time which was an incredibly dark period in Jewish history. Hanukkah, as we know, was a time when there was rampant and uncontrollable assimilation. The Misyavnim were on the rise. You think life is bad today where we have so many Jews who are out of the fold, who are intermarrying? Look what was going on in the days of the Misyavnim. Look how few Jews were able to hold on to the faith in those days, and how many of them made Yeridah from Eretz Yisrael, left their opportunity to live there, went down to Mitzrayim, went down to live in Egypt, and to populate all of the cultured lands. They didn't want to be apart. They wrote on their animals, Ein lanu chelek ve'elokei Yisrael. They were so extreme that they were willing to write on every shop and on every animal, we don't want to have any part in the life that God has on this earth. Not only that, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Yuma and Maseches Avodah Zarah that there was such horrible destruction in the Beis HaMikdash at the time. They put a pesel, perhaps. They put an Avodah Zarah in the Beis HaMikdash. They offered non-kosher karbanos on the Mizbeach, to the point that the Gemara says they had to then dismantle the Mizbeach, take it apart, bury it in the ground. It was not usable. They finally came back after the war was over and they had to rebuild, basically, all of the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. They had to reconstruct everything. So, when the Jewish people as a whole are at a time where there's a terrible downfall, a terrible descent and a decline from the spiritual reality of what the Jewish community really should be, this is something that we celebrate? It was not a glorious period in Jewish history. This was not something to be proud of. Why is it that Hanukkah is lahodos ulahalo when there's actually very little to be grateful for? Yes, we won the war, and yes, in the end, we were able to rededicate the Beis HaMikdash, but what about all the Jews that we lost along the way? What about all the terrible destruction and calamity that took place in the Jewish community as a result of the lead-up to the story of Hanukkah? So the Tolna Rebbe in Yerushalayim has in one of his svarim such a beautiful, such a powerful insight to explain why it is that on Hanukkah we make mention of Lahodos Ulahalo. And he says, the reason why we celebrate on Hanukkah is because we highlight the incredible strength and the remarkable determination of a small group of Jews. This was a group of Jews. Yehuda HaMakabi and his brothers and his father were driven out of Yerushalayim. They were living as fugitives out in the forest for a couple of years, the Medrash says, and they resolved to do the absolute best and to make the absolute best of the desperate life conditions that were put before them. Can you imagine? They were the leaders of the Jewish community. But a small group of Jews understood that as difficult as life might be, and as painful as the reality is that we see in front of us, and everything seems to be disintegrating, and there seems to be no possibility of any future, these small group of Jews had the courage to say, life can still move on, and we can still rebuild, and we have the opportunity to take life into our own hands, and we will not fall prey to the terrible to the terrible experience that the Jewish community is having. And this, writes the Talmud Rebbe, is one of the major reasons. That is a good enough reason, he says, for us to celebrate. Yes, we lost many Jews along the way, and the Misyavdim were on the rise, and assimilation was terrible, and the general state of the Jewish community at the time was something that we're not so proud of, and we're not very happy about. But, he says, when you look at it from the perspective of this small group of Jews, this family who understood that although life can sometimes put us through some very challenging and difficult circumstances, if you understand that those challenges are not ones that are insurmountable, if you understand that those challenges are ones that are not overwhelming, that at some point we are able to get over them, you can crawl out of it and you can rebuild a life once again, that is why we celebrate these days of Hanukkah, because of the great courage and the lesson that we learn from the Hashmonaim. He goes further and he says, we have a very unusual Gemara in Maseches Shabbos when it speaks about all of the different details of the halacha of lighting Hanukkah candles. So the Gemara tells us that when you light the Hanukkah candles, kavsa ein zakukla, which means, if I light the Hanukkah candles and I come back 5 minutes later and I see that my candles have been blown out by a wind, I didn't blow them out myself, but they were blown out by a wind, I do not need to bother and rekindle them. I can just leave it as it is. I've done my mitzvah, says the Gemara. Hadlaka osa mitzvah. Once you light the candles, you perform your mitzvah. No reason to do anything further. Now, ask the Talmud Rebbe. If the point of lighting the Hanukkah candles is to inspire the onlooker, it's that people should think about the miracle, people should understand how lucky we are, what we're celebrating, then he asks, how have I performed my mitzvah by just lighting the candle if it goes out 5 minutes later? What does that help? How has the mitzvah been accomplished at all? How has the objective, how has the goal been reached if in fact nobody's able to see the candles? And perhaps he suggests so beautifully, maybe this is just a drush that he has, but it's a beautiful idea to consider, and he says, as we mentioned, Hanukkah, the reason why we celebrate is because this was the time when we had the courageous Jews who were willing to say, we are not going to let life impediments get in our way. We are going to show the world that we have the ability to move on, and we have the ability to once again rise up and get over those tremendous impediments that we had placed in our way. And yes, we lost Yerushalayim, and we lost our rights to the Beis HaMikdash, and terrible amounts of Jews went down to assimilation and moved out of Eretz Yisrael. It does not matter. We understand that we can overcome these challenges as well, and that's what we celebrate. And he writes, isn't that the message of Kavsa Ein Zakukla? A person in life can sometimes do something, and a wind will come 5 minutes later and blow out everything that you've worked so hard to accomplish. You thought you were involved in a tremendous business deal. You thought you were growing a family. All of a sudden, God comes with a wind and he strikes one of the children and somebody's sick, and you don't know what to do with yourself, and you think life is going to be over. And what we celebrate on Hanukkah is that you have the ability to move on. And as difficult of a wind as might come your way, kavsa ein zakukla, don't get stuck in it. Don't keep going back to try to light it again. Allow yourself to move on and allow yourself to believe that you are never able to be crippled or debilitated by the circumstances that the Ribbono Shel Olam might put in your way. We can never allow that to happen. And that, writes the Talmud Rebbe, is what Hanukkah is all about. And that, when you look at our parsha, the story of Yehuda once again, isn't it unusual that Yehuda, this is the reaction, this is the response. You just sold your brother down to slavery. You know you're destroying his life. You're destroying the whole family's life. And the Medrash says, this is all you can do at this point is go and try and get married? That's what you're going to be busy with? How callous, how apathetic can you be? And the answer, says the Kutzker, is no. Yehuda understood that as much as I may have destroyed people's lives and as poor of a decision as I may have made, I have the opportunity to start once again. And he starts from the first mitzvah of Pur Ravu and he says, let me go and try and get married. Let me pick myself up and move on, and let me show my family and the world that that is something that every human being has the opportunity to do at any moment of life. At any time that they have a difficult juncture, a difficult experience, they always have that chance to move on and to go further and to never get stuck behind those tremendous impediments, those tremendous winds that sometimes the Ribbono Shel Olam might put in our ways.